In the year 1263, a priest named Peter of Prague was on pilgrimage to Rome. He was about 100 miles outside of the city. He stopped at the town of Bolsena for the night, and the next morning he awoke to offer Mass at the tomb of St. Christina, one of the early martyrs of our church. Poor Peter, though, was going through this real struggle as a priest when he says the words of consecration. Does it really happen? Does the Eucharist really become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ? He really hoped that when he went to Rome on this pilgrimage, he would be renewed in faith. That morning is his offering Mass, and he said the words of consecration, the host actually started to bleed. And that blood hit the corporal that was on the altar. Of course, not only he, but the whole congregation was aghast. They just knew a miracle had happened. The Pope, Urban IV, was staying in the nearby town of Orvieto. So they immediately gathered this up. They went to Orvieto. They explained what happened. And the Holy Father declared a miracle. For this reason, if you go to Orvieto, you'll see the blood-stained corporal of that miracle, a Eucharistic miracle. Also, for that reason, the following year, Pope Urban instituted the feast we celebrate today, the Feast of Corpus Christi. So, my brothers and sisters, our Lord allowed this very special miracle to occur, and many other Eucharistic miracles have occurred over the centuries, to remind us of our own belief, that we fundamentally believe that the Holy Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. So our gospel today takes us back to that Last Supper scene. Jesus has gathered his apostles to celebrate, really, a new Passover, his Passover. He's that Lamb of God who's going to take on our burden of sins and set us free from the slavery of sin. He takes bread and wine. He says, over the bread, this is my body. And then, over the cup of wine, this is my blood. Miraculously, our Lord was sharing with his apostles his very self, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, with the same efficacious words by which our Lord could change water into wine, raise Lazarus from the dead, calm a storm, multiply the loaves to feed 5,000, tell a blind man to see, a crippled man to walk. With all those same efficacious words, Jesus performed a miracle. That miracle, though, is just, this part of the miracle is just part of the bigger picture. For the next day, Jesus, as that Passover Lamb of God, does go to the cross. His body is given for us. His blood is spilt to forgive our sins. Yes, Jesus is that Passover Lamb who makes the perfect covenant. He's the one who forgives sins. He's the one who frees us from the slavery of sin. But unlike the Passover Lamb of Moses' time, Jesus did not just die, he rose. And that's part of the whole miracle too. Christ rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. Well, we look at this as one big miracle, and we have to appreciate it as one big article of faith. When we look at the Holy Eucharist, then, we're reminded, especially, that Christ's words come true. As he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, I am the living bread come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That is fulfilled in Last Supper, Good Friday sacrifice, Easter Sunday resurrection. The challenge then is to meet Christ's requirement, to give our lives to him so that he can feed us. He said, eat. He said, drink. Do this in remembrance of me. He meant what he said. So ever since that time, we've had the Mass. Going back to the earliest records of our church, the earliest writings of the church fathers, this is what we have believed, and this is what we celebrate when we come together for Mass. When we are here, we are entering into an ever-living reality, an ever-present reality of our Lord's Last Supper, sacrifice, resurrection. When we say, Jesus died for my sins, that's true. But we don't say that because we lived in the year 33. We say that because it's a living event. What Jesus did touches our lives. Same for us now. What we do now is a living event that participates in the reality of our Lord's Last Supper, Passion, Death, Resurrection. So the priest at this Mass will offer the sacrifice. It takes a priest, because Christ is the priest. He handed on his priesthood to the apostles, and through the sacrament of holy orders, that is given to priests to this very day. So the priest prays the Eucharistic prayer. When he comes to the words of consecration, though, notice, he shifts from past tense to present tense, third person to first person. I say, this is my body. It's like Jesus is speaking those words now through me. So when I say the words of consecration, that bread and wine truly becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. This is a miracle. Granted, the characteristics, shape, color, size, smell, touch, those things don't change. But the what it is, the substance, does change. We are not receiving simply a piece of blessed bread or a piece or a sip of blessed wine. We're receiving the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. We call this transubstantiation, defined in the year 1215 at the Fourth Lateran Council. But a belief, again, that goes back since the time of our Lord. This is what he taught. This is what our church has always believed. And so we're called to hold on to this beautiful miracle that has been given to us and realize Christ, his living presence, is coming to us to share in our lives. With that, then, our challenge is to make us present to him. His real presence is in the Holy Eucharist. We have to make, therefore, ourselves present and present ourselves to him. Therefore, I only encourage you that when you come to Mass, try to come a little early. We know our minds are very busy. We have many responsibilities and things like that. Our life seems to be rush, rush, rush. Try to come early to settle down, to pray, to clear the mind. I need to do that before I offer the Mass. And then, as Mass unfolds, follow along. Read the readings. That helps me to stay focused. Participate in the prayers. Move the lips. Worship is an act of action. It's engagement. And so we have to participate. We are people who have senses. And so all of our senses should be engaged when we worship God. So make that happen. But again, follow along. It truly, as I mentioned, helps me to stay focused. And then, when the miracle occurs on the altar, thank God. In the old days, we would say when the bells rang, signifying the miracle had happened, going back to the early times of the church, we'd always say, my Lord and my God. Because like St. Thomas, we're trying to dispel any doubt and say, I believe. Then as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, it's always good to be mindful of what we receive. Routine can make us a little bit lax. And so a little reminder, we have two options. The normal, standardized, universal option is to receive on the tongue. Our country does have a dispensation, we could say, to receive also on the hand. It's up to you. But we need to be mindful of what we're receiving. So approaching the Holy Communion station, we should have our hands folded reverently. And then, before receiving, either make a genuflection or profound bow. The priest will then say, the body of Christ. If you want to receive on the tongue, put forth the tongue. First say amen, then put forth your tongue, place this host on tongue, make the sign of the cross, go back to the pew and give thanks. If you want to receive on the hand, so after your genuflection or bow, have your hands like a little throne. So a throne for God, and that's how the early church fathers described it. The hand you take with goes on the bottom. And the hand should be clean. That's very important. So once I had a little child that had a happy face with, hello, Father, which was very touching, but it's nice to have clean hands. And then priest says, body of Christ, you say amen, places host on hand, step just a little bit to the side, adore, take, consume, sign of the cross, back to the pew. This is important. It's important for you parents to continue to instruct and guide your children. I've used this before, but as a priest, I've seen it all. So for those who receive on the tongue, sometimes you have the snappers. And I'm wondering, oh, lost a finger there. Or you have those who are the clams. And I have to sort of like shove it in. So, or you have the lizard. It's like, oh, goody. So, and then for the people on the hands, of course you have those who sort of like are the jugglers that are like this. You have the basket weavers. There's the little spiders that do this thing. There's the praying mantises, or the Venus flytraps that do this. And there's the praying mantises that want to do that, and so on. And then, of course, you have your pro-choice Catholics that give me the option, like that. And it's like, please be mindful, what are you receiving? And the other important part is this, is the response. It's amen. Amen does mean I believe, but it also means it is. That's important, because it's not just up to my subjective belief. It is. I'm stating it is. So amen's important. I've had people sometimes say, thank you, go away. And then I've had people say, I believe. All right, fine, you believe. I've had people say, I am. Body of Christ, I am. Jump in the tabernacle. So anyway, when we think of this, though, I'm saying this because it's a good review. And we need to take this seriously. This is a gift of our Lord to us. And then when we go back after receiving communion, we pray. I always pray to myself, dear Lord, don't let any of my parishioners be the Judas who walks out the door early. I always say that. And even though I say this many times throughout the year, I know it will happen today. How sad. We should pray for them. So my brothers and sisters, the key here is our Lord is sharing with us miraculously himself, his divine life. How blessed we are then, because having received that presence, we can go out into this world and know Jesus is with us. He's with us to share in our joys, our sorrows, our happy times, our suffering times. Jesus is with us. The real challenge then too is to make him present to all that we meet. May God bless you.